Hello and thanks for listening to the Poverty Research and Policy Podcast from the Institute for Research on Poverty at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I'm Dave Chancellor. This is our January 2019 podcast episode, and we're going to be hearing from Lena Napomniachtchi, who's an associate professor at the Rutgers School of Social Work. She'll be talking about the role of fathers in reducing inequalities in child outcomes. And the work she'll be talking about is from a study supported by the W.T. Grant Foundation that she's doing with Dan Miller of Boston University, Maureen Waller of Cornell, and Allison Dwyer Emery, who's a postdoc at Rutgers. I was able to talk to Professor Napomniachtchi when she visited IRP in October, and when we started talking, I asked her why she's interested in questions about father involvement and how it matters for kids.
So most of my research has focused on the role of fathers in low-income families and single mother families primarily. I'm very interested in why it is that kids in single mother families and kids in low-income families do worse than kids not in those. And so I have always wanted to understand what it is that fathers can do to ameliorate some of the problems and some of the, you know, whatever's going on in those families. So whether it's money, which I believe money plays a huge role in child development, or whether it's something else. And over these years that I've been doing this work, I feel that these things are so tied up together, father's provision of child support or money and their connection with the kid and ability to be involved when the parent's relationship is over or is hostile or whatever. And to the degree that fathers can do those things and be involved, I think that can contribute a lot to child well-being. So the motivation for the paper is trying to understand the role of fathers. And of course, this question of whether these gaps can be closed. And we think about mothers as kind of the primary drivers of child well-being, but I think it's a really interesting question about whether fathers can also improve child outcomes.
As we think about how fathers might matter when it comes to addressing gaps or inequalities in child outcomes, Napomniachtchi says it's important to consider how fathers themselves are doing and how that might affect their capacity to be involved in their children's lives.
The social and economic changes over the last 40 years that have tremendously hurt men at the lower end of educational scale, right? So low-skilled men. We know that wages for those men have not grown and actually have decreased by about a third. There's different estimates, but potentially up to a third less than they used to be 40 years ago. So, other groups of men are doing better, but that particular group of men is actually doing much worse. Then incarceration has tremendously increased. We know this, and we know that men with low levels of education are particularly affected. And, you know, the changes in the economy, the fact that you can't really survive anymore without a higher education, those jobs are gone. And those are the men that are particularly being affected by these changes. So all of that affects fathers' ability to be involved with their children for these fathers who are low skilled. Lower wages prevent them from supporting their families. It also contributes to lower rates of marriage, probably. I mean, we assume that that's probably true. If marrying a man who has less income than he had a few years ago, you know, that's not a benefit. So there might be something there. And so when men aren't with women, then children are raised alone. And again, they have less contact with children.
Napomniachtchi says a lot of the previous work on father involvement has either taken a point-in-time approach or has looked at relatively small samples of mostly middle-class families who may have had very different set of experiences than those of lower SES or socioeconomic status families. Because of this, in their study, they elected to use the Fragile Families and Child Well-Being dataset, which is a survey of kids born in urban areas in the late 1990s.
It oversamples children born to unmarried parents, so it is a more disadvantaged sample overall, but it is representative of births in those large cities at that time. And the way we limited our sample was we needed to look at father involvement over a 10-year period because we wanted to measure involvement kind of over the child's life. We had to limit the sample to fathers who were either resident over that 10-year period or non-resident over that 10-year period. And we're looking at kid outcomes, child outcomes, when adolescent outcomes, really, when they're 15 years old. And so, again, we're looking at outcomes at 15 years and then looking back for 10 years, measuring father's involvement over that whole period.
And Nepomniachtchi says she and her colleagues' approach in their study was to ask a what-if question. What if low-income or low-SES fathers were involved at higher rates? Could that reduce inequalities in child outcomes?
So that's the setup for the paper. And so the first step is to establish that there is an association of involvement with outcomes, which we do. And I think we do it in a more powerful way than other papers because we measure involvement kind of over the life of the child. So not just, you know, did fathers spend time with the kids last week or did they provide money in the past year? We were trying to create this measure of kind of everything that fathers have done for their children over the last 10 years. And we look at resident fathers and non-resident fathers separately because they're just so different that putting them together doesn't make a lot of sense.
So once they established that there was indeed an association between father involvement and child outcomes generally, they next looked at whether involvement among low SES fathers also mattered. And Nepomniachtchi says they actually weren't quite sure what they would find.
I think you could imagine that what about issues of domestic violence? What about issues of child maltreatment? What about issues of substance abuse? Right, all of those things are more likely to be found among low SES fathers. And so maybe their involvement, because of all those traits that they have, that might have, may be bad for kids. So that was one way to think about it. But the other way to think about it is actually maybe it's good for kids. Maybe it's better than the effect of involvement for higher SES fathers because children in higher SES families have so many other advantages. Well-educated mothers, good neighborhoods, high income. So maybe father involvement's actually not that important. So that was an open question. And we tested it and we actually found no difference in the effects of involvement on child outcomes between high and low SES families.
But the high SES fathers had more involvement. So from there, Nepomniachtchi and her colleagues wanted to think about what levels of father involvement it would actually take to reduce gaps in child outcomes between high and low SES families.
What if fathers in low SES families were as involved as fathers in high SES families, or even higher? Like, what if we just let them be super, super involved? And so we did these simulation models where we substitute in the involvement of a high SES father into the low SES father's involvement equation, so to speak, and then looked at fathers who are very involved. And so that's what we did. And I think it's a novel approach. And we find that it actually does reduce some of these gaps in child outcomes. And for some of them, we completely reduce the gaps.
And as she mentioned, their analyses looked at all resident fathers separately from all non-resident fathers.
You know, as we would expect, when we just compare the resident and non-resident samples, of course, children with non-resident fathers are disadvantaged on every indicator compared to the resident father families. Nonetheless, when we look within those samples, there's a lot of variation in child outcomes, in father involvement, in all other sorts of variables within the resident sample and non-resident sample by SES. So high SES, children in high SES families in resident father families do better than children in low SES resident father families, and same for non-residents. And there's a lot of variation in income across those groups. So these analyses allow us to really look at these differences within the resident and non-resident father sample. I think also that's an innovation or a contribution is that often people just compare resident versus non-resident. And that wasn't the goal here. The goal was really to understand differences by SES. And obviously SES is tied to residents versus non-residents, but we really wanted to look separately within those two samples to really get a sense of whether father involvement, given your residential status, right? We're not interested in saying, oh, sure, residence is good, so let's make all fathers live with their children. We understand that that is not the role of policymakers. but we are interested in whether father involvement through money and through father's time with children and all of how all of those things work together, whether those things can improve child outcomes and close gaps.
So with that, I asked Napamniachtchi what their takeaways were and how they might help us better understand how father involvement matters for children's outcomes.
One of the big takeaways from the study, which I think is complicated, particularly for the non-resident father families, is that we find that child support, provision of cash child support, is actually much less predictive of child outcomes and does much less to close the gaps than does father's provision of in-kind support, which is non-cash things that fathers provide for their children, and their social involvement, which is doing things with kids, going out with them, reading to them, spending time with them. And I think what I want to be careful with in terms of the implications of the study is that I don't think that the takeaway should be that money doesn't matter, because that's not the case. What we think is going on is that, first of all of these things are incredibly correlated. So when fathers come and visit their children, they bring things to their children and they contribute in all sorts of ways. And what we talked about in the beginning, right, about the social context and the economic changes that have happened in terms of incarceration and low wages and the disappearance of the types of jobs that fathers with low skills used to be able to support families on, all of those things contribute to all of these measures of father involvement, not just whether they pay support or not, but whether they're able to be involved with their families. And we think addressing those kinds of disparities in terms of wages, in terms of barriers to return from incarceration. I think one thing that I didn't mention is that in this sample, particularly in the non-resident father sample, something like, I'm not sure of the exact number I want to say, something like 60% of these dads, by the time the kids are 15, have had incarceration experiences, which is in line with other data. So that has tremendous implications for whether fathers are involved with children. And so when these fathers come back into the communities, their ability to find jobs, their ability to see their children is hampered tremendously. And all of those things then contribute to their lower levels of involvement in every way.
Napamniachtchi says that as a next step, she and her co-investigators will be collecting policy data from states to look at how policies that aren't necessarily aimed at fathers might have implications for fathers' well-being.
So things like the minimum wage, unemployment policies, EITC, even the earned income tax credit. Some states and local areas allow single men to have, or single parents to have, to receive the EITC. Things like barriers when you come back from incarceration. There's whether you can live in various places, whether you can apply for student loans, how easy it is to access criminal records. We believe that all of those things should maybe make a difference. So we are collecting some of those variables across states. Also, we are looking at child support arrears as well, policies around child support arrears, because we believe that those have a very large impact also on fathers in these data. And much of those arrears doesn't go to families, it actually goes to the state to recoup public assistance costs that the mother might have used. So those policies should matter. So that's our next steps, is collecting all those data and now analyzing how those policies are related to father's involvement.
Thanks to Lennon and Napamniachtchi for taking the time to talk about this research with us. This podcast was supported as part of a grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Office of the Assistant Secretary for Planning and Evaluation, but its contents don't necessarily represent the opinions or policies of that office, any other agency of the federal government, or the Institute for Research on Poverty. To catch new episodes of the Poverty Research and Policy Podcast, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or your favorite podcast app. You can also find all of our past episodes on the Institute for Research on Poverty website. Thanks for listening.